From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Female offenders in the La Crosse area who have nowhere else to turn or who may need some additional guidance may end up living in Ophelia's house. The La Crosse County and YWCA program is designed to keep them out of jail and help them through their recovery process. The residents have to follow rules, attend weekly meetings, and often become a support system and family to one another. I recently met with a group of women who have lived in the large green house and have mostly kicked their addictions. One of those women is Alyssa Langard, who says living in Ophelia's house and going through La Crosse County's drug court helped her get her life back on track.
Well, I was in not a very good relationship, and he was the father of my children, or is the father of my children. He introduced me to meth, and then we did that quite often. After 6 years of being together and dealing with all sorts of different kind of abuse, I packed a suitcase for me and my kids and I left, and I came here to stay with one of my friends. And at the time of me leaving, he'd really done a number on me. I didn't think I could raise my kids by myself. I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think I could do anything. I couldn't get a job because I'm just a terrible person. So then I started using every day. It was about a month after I'd started using every day that I got arrested. I was selling meth to this person. And thankfully he called the police, and I came back to the house one night and they came out of the middle of nowhere and took me to jail. I was just so out of it. I don't know how I thought that was okay. I look back at pictures, and when I was going to court, there was the person that I was selling to had a video camera on his phone. So I watched videos of myself, and that was a really scary thing to do. That was a real reality check for me. Seeing how I looked and how I acted there, I mean, that was quite the wake-up call. I was in jail for about 3 weeks, and then my lawyer asked if I could come here. So I was out on bond here. I remember when I was here, it was nice to be able to have other women here that could relate to what I was going through. So that part of it was great. And then that's what I needed, because at first, when I first came here, I didn't think the social workers cared. I didn't think that the people that were working the house cared. I don't know what I thought exactly, but I didn't think that they knew what they were talking about. I didn't think that they really cared. So at first, having the women in the house for me, that was a huge deal. After a while of being here, and maybe getting my head back on straight, I started to realize, like, these people are running the groups and they're pretty successful, so maybe I could take a note or two from them. And then it was more toward the end of my stay that I really realized how much the caseworkers and everyone here at the house cared about me. And that was, I mean, it was really helpful. When I left this house, I felt really stable. I felt like I had all the support I needed. And I also dealt with some domestic abuse too, and there were groups that came in that helped me deal with that and talk about that. So almost every one of the groups here was really helpful to me. I read something in the paper that didn't make me happy. Because I've been here and I got a lot from this house. So I called and I just asked, you know, what can I do? And at first it just started with me coming to the weekly house meetings, telling my story. So now I come in every Friday and I run a group. They deal with almost anything. If there's any concerns or any struggles that they're going through, if there's, you know, I'm just an extra person to bounce ideas off of, and you know, because I have been here, and I know what a lot of the women here are going through. So that's what I do now. Things are really good now. I'm in school for nursing, and then in the fall I'm doing kind of double. I'm going to be doing nursing and social work. I wasn't planning to go to school for social work, but I'm going to be doing that in the fall. So obviously I'm really loving what I'm doing. It's just... it's nice to be able to give back, and And I understand, like, if we're in group and Gina's telling me, like, some of the struggles, I can 100% relate most of the time to these struggles that she's going through. So I have, you know, I have got pointers, like, well, here's what I did. And, you know, maybe you can talk to this person, or, you know, just little things. I have my kids back full time. All the time they have to see their dad supervised, so I got them out of that situation. My family and I are best friends. If I don't talk to my parents once a day, like, something's wrong. I'm calling them because I'm worried. I'm able to take my kids on vacations. I have pets now. We have a nice yard. I have a car. I couldn't be happier. Things are really, really changed completely for me. I mean, a lot of it was me and what I had to do too, but if it wasn't for Ophelia's House and Drug Court, I wouldn't be where I am.
Alyssa is a former Ophelia's House resident who is now leading weekly group meetings at the Home for Female Offenders. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about women in the criminal justice system. Jane Riffenberg also used to live in Ophelia's House. She ended up there after struggling with alcohol for years.
I was in jail for my fifth OWI, was in jail for about 30 days, and then I came here on the ankle bracelet. I was here for a little over 3 months, and for me it was the best thing. And I think being the accountability, that is so huge. I work now as an ambassador for the OWI court, so I do some mentoring for new participants in the OWI court, and I hear almost every session, it's just so much, there's so much to do, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. Well, there's a reason for that. And the people that can trudge through and find what works for them and do what's best for themselves are the ones that experience the success. I, since graduating from OWI court and being a mentor for OWI court and at Ophelia's, I now work full-time for Mayo Health System as a treatment facilitator. So I work at a women's residential treatment center full-time. For me, when I was in my recovery, one of the things that helped me the most is listening to other people's stories and experiences, because, and I know everyone that's gone through recovery will say, you think that you are alone. You think that you're the only one that has this problem. You think you're the only one whose family has severed ties, or, you know, whatever your experience is, you think in your mind there's certainly some self-esteem issues and things like that. And it's so comforting and so helpful to hear other people's stories and, oh my gosh, yeah, I experienced that too. How did you handle it? So the conversations that you're able to have with other people, and now the conversations that I'm able to have with my experience because of all of this is huge. Mm-hmm. What was a godsend for me going through the system and all of this was the opportunity to find out where I do belong. This was a new journey for me, a new adventure. When I started my recovery, I remember saying to my therapist, I don't know where I belong. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. But being here at Ophelia's and being affiliated with Justice Sanctions, I was given many, many options, many opportunities. Also, you have to want to do it, for one thing. For another thing, you have to try many different avenues, because oftentimes it appears that you're being sent in one direction, and I found that direction wasn't right for me. So I had to keep exploring and exploring and exploring until I did find what worked for me. And with that, there's an element of comfort. There is experiencing success. There's those little steps that they talk about, going in the right direction, staying on track or on path. It's amazing.
Jane is a former Ophelia's House resident who now serves as a mentor to others who have been in her situation. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about women in the criminal justice system. Other Ophelia's House residents, like Gina Anderson, are in the process of transitioning out. She had been in and out of jail and Ophelia's House for over a year. Gina has battled a heroin addiction for years, a habit she picked up after painkillers following back surgery were no longer enough. To feed her addiction, she shoplifted and stole. Gina says Ophelia's house, along with religion and a willingness to kickstart her life, is what got her sober.
When I was in jail, I didn't have nowhere to go. I didn't have no family, no friends. So I didn't really have anywhere to go. And so I came to Ophelia House, and I honestly, in my heart, believed that if I didn't have the Ophelia House, I would have been out on the street, and I wouldn't be where I'm at today. If I was on the street, I would have been using, and probably dead. For me, no, I don't have material things, and I don't have a home and everything, but I've been at the Ophelia House, which I thank God every day for. I have the people in drug court justice sanctions here at the house that are helping me and behind me. And I thank God every day because, like I said, I don't know where I'd be. And life is wonderful. I should be transitioning out probably next week. I got TBRA, which is tenant-based rental assistance through Cooley Cab. And I will be living on French Island. So I'll have about 5 months in here. I'm excited, but I'm a little nervous. A little nervous. It's making that move. I don't know. I guess it was security here, you know, and to accountability. Because when I first came, we have to make out a schedule each week, and we have to follow it. And there's been a few times that I've complained because I had to follow this, you know. But really, I learned structure. Things have just been falling into place, you know. First it was being here at the Ophelia House, and then, I mean, I fell into school and church, you know, and finding new friends and people that believe in you, and then finding housing, you know, and now a job, and it's just things are just come in, you know, they're just coming in like they're supposed to be. And I remember when I first got out of jail too, you know, I'd see people, like I'd have to go to justice sanctions, and I'd see people there, how you doing? I'm like, good, good. And I was just thinking about it when we were sitting here talking. It's funny because now it's been, 5 months. Now it's when people say, how are you doing? I'm like, great. I'm doing great. And I feel great. And yeah.
Gina is in the process of transitioning out of Ophelia's House, a home for female offenders in La Crosse. A few months ago, a couple of the residents in Ophelia's House overdosed on heroin, and others were charged with possession. On many levels, this was upsetting and scary to the other women that lived there and had formerly lived there. Former resident Jane Riffenberg says it's a reminder to everyone that recovery from an addiction is never easy.
I think that what people need to understand is that success in this home or any other facility is individual. And there's only so much that the house managers or the supervisors or whatever they're called can do for these people. They're not going to take you by the hand and lead you, Jane, but they do. You have to want to do it. It is an individual choice. When you come to this house, you may not be aware of all the advantages. You might not be aware of all the things that can happen to lead you down the path. You got to want to do it. Does stuff happen that you don't want to participate in? Absolutely. Are there hoops to jump through? Of course. But that's part of the recovery. That's part of the process. And it saddens me when a facility, any facility, including this one, would get a strike against them, if you will, because of an individual was unsuccessful. That doesn't really mean that this house is unsuccessful, and I will fight that till the ends of the earth, because it really does work, and there are successes. And another thing is that you don't hear about a lot of the successes. You don't read in the paper or hear on the radio that so-and-so left Ophelia's house after 3 months and is on their own and has a job and has been sober and went through OWI court and went through, you know, blah, 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 blah. You don't hear that. You only hear the stuff that would put a sour taste in one's mouth. And so I just needed to say that on behalf of Ophelia's.
Jane is a former Ophelia's House resident who, like others who have lived in the house, now mentors people who struggle with alcohol and other addictions. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about women in the criminal justice system. Among the group of women I talked with at Ophelia's House, Many mentioned that religion and finding a higher power helped them work through their addictions. While in jail, some of them encountered Sister Nina Shepherd. She's with the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration and works with La Crosse County Jail Ministry. Sister Nina and another sister meet with the women in jail once a week.
And what we do is have a session with the women that want to come. And they can sign up to go to the scripture session, and then they can also sign up to talk with us one-on-one afterwards. So I'm there for 3 hours or a little more, and we do an hour with the scripture. We use the readings from the next Sunday and just read them once, and then everyone just says a word or a phrase that struck them out of that reading. Then we read it again, the same thing, do the same thing. Read it a third time, and then we discuss. They can say what it meant to them and what questions they might have too, but it's very rewarding just to see how they get a lot of benefit out of these readings. They identify with them. And of course, if the reading isn't really going to be appropriate to them, I think I'll change it to another one, but usually the Sunday ones are good. And then after that, they can come in one-on-one, just one by one, and just talk about anything they want to. I think overall the effort we make is to encourage them, to affirm them, to really convince them, and they are convinced that God has forgiven them. If there's anything to forgive, God is with them to help them. And this is what really helps them a lot, it seems. And you see, if they keep coming, the same ones, you see a growth in them.
I would imagine having someone like yourself, having a safe person to go to who may just listen to what they have to say, probably is a major help, especially with whatever situation they found themselves in.
Yes, there's no doubt that it is. They always are grateful just to have you listen. And some of them, you know, their situations are so terrible. The things they've gone through, I mean, there's no wonder where some of them are in the condition they are. I mean, no one should have to suffer what some of them have suffered in their lives. And so they can just let it all out, and they know it's not going anywhere and that they're not judged. And sometimes I feel just at a loss, and I'll say, I wish there was something I could do. And they said, it just helps to talk about it.
So why is it that you feel it's important to be involved in jail ministry?
I don't know exactly what it is that calls me to this particular ministry, but of course part of it is Matthew 25. You know, I was in prison and you visited me. And for some reason I feel I can do it. I mean, some people say to me, I could never do that. Well, maybe they could, but they don't think they could. But I can. It's hard at times, really hard, because it's discouraging. And you see some of them try so hard and go out and then come back in again. And it's rewarding, and it keeps one honest. It's so easy to live in our little ivory towers, you know, and where things are going pretty well and we have a normal life. And then to listen to the stories and their stories of where they've been and what they've been through is good for one's soul to reflect on.
Do you often see a transformation within the women who come and speak with you, either in group or privately, throughout the weeks?
I do. Some of them, they've already started on that path of recovery, shall we say. It is recovery. But they seem strengthened by it. If they come repeatedly and regularly to the scripture, it does sort of work into their souls and settles in there. And they read it on their own. They read scripture, they tell me how much they read it, and they'll refer other inmates in their block to certain passages. And they love, for some reason, they love to read Proverbs, but they also love to read the Psalms, and it seems to help them.
Why do you think it is that religion can play such a powerful force in the recovery process and rehabilitation process?
Well, because as they say in recovery, you know, the higher power is a higher power, and we know that with God we can do anything. So there's hope. It brings hope to them. And then, of course, the conviction that they are loved unconditionally by God, and we reinforce that idea very much.
It was very interesting to me when I met with the women at Ophelia's house, how, at least with this select group of women, finding either religion, you know, and all of them were going down different religious paths, finding God, finding a higher power, really is what kicked it in for them in turning their lives around. Is that surprising to you? Because to some people, when I shared that insight, they were kind of surprised. But to you, is that surprising?
Not at all. I mean, it just seems a natural progression. And many of them have a religious background of one kind or another. Some a strong one. Some fathers were preachers, ministers, and they're from different faith paths. Now, others have said, this is the first time in my life I ever opened a Bible. And that always strikes me, and I just think, God, that they came and that they got a chance to become acquainted with it, and maybe that'll help them in their future.
Sister Nina Shepherd is a Franciscan Sister of Perpetual Adoration and works with La Crosse County Jail Ministry. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, photos, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.